And I got just a ton in my heart about this. It's really a favorite topic of mine. And so we're in a series here about called Building the Temple series, the Building the Temple series. And so we talked the last couple of weeks about, we started with Paul's teaching in Ephesians about that we are being built together, a dwelling place of God in the Spirit in the book of Ephesians, amen? And then Peter basically teaches exactly the same thing in his letter, but he calls it that we're being built together a spiritual house, amen? But these guys are both teaching the same concept, and what they're talking about, and is what you guys know if you've been around, one of my pet peeves in the church today is that we're so individualistic in church, right? You're a temple, and that's cool, and everybody, you got a dream, but we've got all these individual dreams, and it's like the church is so splintered today, and that's not how it's supposed to be. Amen. There wasn't like the Ephesians church wasn't competing with the Philippians and trying to get their building faster or stuff like that, right? There's this whole, it's the concept of, yes, there's a local representation of the church, right? Philippian church, Ephesian church, whatever, in that city, those cities where those churches were, but there's also talking about the global body of Christ. Amen. So what we're talking about in this series, church, is about learning to be built together. Amen. Like, I'm not designed, God doesn't design me to have the whole package all by myself, right? I'm saved all by myself, and I got the Holy Spirit in me, so do you, all you do, right? But to see the kingdom of God come, the kingdom of God requires everybody to work together. Amen? Amen? The kingdom of God will never come to a splintered church. Praise God, that was pretty good. Amen. So, Father, we ask that you just open our hearts as we delve into your word here. Lord, give us, we know the Holy Spirit is called in the scriptures the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. So, Lord, we ask that just the Spirit of revelation would just perk our hearts and our minds, Lord, in the next few moments, God, that we would hear what you're saying to our house, God, what you're saying to this local representation of the body of Christ, God, that you would continue, as Peter says, to have our hearts knit together, God, this spirit of unity, in Jesus' name. Amen. So 1 Peter 2, if you want to turn there, we're going to review just a little bit. And guys, we're going to delve in to where we kind of left off two Sundays ago. Last Sunday we had Teen Challenge. You guys all enjoy Teen Challenge? Those guys are awesome. Amen. So 1 Peter 2, y'all there? Verse 4 says, coming to him, who's him? Jesus, right? Coming to him, Jesus, as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, everybody say you also, as living stones, say it with me, as living stones, right? So exactly the same description, right, as Jesus, right? Are, let's say this together, being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Amen. So again, just a quick little review here, church. We've got to, and this prophetic words this morning from Pastor Dan, Pastor Al, encouraging us, just really kind of fits in here. I'm just going to share my heart. If we get on my notes, we do. If we don't, we don't. Amen. But the last phrase in this particular, this first five about sacrifices acceptable to God, what we've got to understand is that means that there's things that are not acceptable to God. There's things that we bring that are not acceptable to God. Amen. Let's face it, in our culture, we're so entertainment-based. There's like funny things I see on Facebook that float around, and it's like, why do people, it's like jokes are up. The joke is about why folks, bounce around to different churches. And some of those things are like pastors are saying, these are legitimate things I've heard. The singing's not good enough. Yeah, you're like, whoa. Well, it's not for you, bro. All right? I mean, man, like God really not hung up on how good we can sing in our own estimation. Can I get amen on that, right? So just these kind of things that we kind of value that you know, I don't really find any place in the Bible that values those same things. Can I get amen? Right? God, the point is, church, is that God is looking for certain things that he likes, and there's certain things that he does not. Amen. Right? And part of the thing we heard about even communion today, you know, if you really read that scripture that Pastor Al referenced briefly, Paul describes it like this. He says, because some of you take communion in an unworthy manner, there are those among you who are sick, and some of you are even asleep. And he doesn't mean taking a nap. It's the big nap. Could you imagine that? Paul is saying that there's people that have taken communion with a wrong heart motive and die. That ain't Old Testament, y'all. They didn't do communion back then. I mean, Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit about giving, right? They gave, who knows how much money they gave. They probably gave a lot because it says they sold their stuff. They brought it to the church, right? Because everybody was given a whole bunch of stuff. They brought their stuff, lied about how much they gave. They got caught and dropped dead. New Testament. Crazy, man. But you know what happened right after that? The Bible says that the fear of the Lord fell upon all those people and the church started growing like crazy. See, the thing, here's the really simple way to determine if God likes what we're bringing to him as an offering, right? Am I coming in the fear of God? Or am I just coming with whatever I feel like bringing? Yeah, guess I can make it today. Can I get an amen from some, y'all? Like, man, where is he going with this today? Yikes! Buckle up. You know, I just gotta tell y'all, man. Just take giving for just a moment, right? Just money, right? We don't get all squirrely about money, but look, the Bible is very clear how much what we're supposed to give financially. Can I get amen on that? Very, very clear on it. And the point is, church, is it's not God trying to control you. It's not God trying to say, I don't want you to have fun. It's not God trying to say, I don't want you to have a nice life. Come on, church, I've been tithing for 20 years. I got nice stuff. I got a nice house. I drive nice cars. I got some toys because God has blessed me. Amen. Can I get amen? So I was talking with someone yesterday about it, and I got this little phrase. I remembered it because I thought it's catchy, right? If there is no standard of giving, because that's what being taught in the church today, if there's no standard of giving, then what's the standard of living? If God has got no standard about how much we should give, then we might as well just throw all the other standards out too. You know what the verse of the day was on the Bible app? Every man does what's right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. And I don't know about y'all, but I'd read that one. That one is not warm and fuzzy. That means I'm doing what I think is right, right? He doesn't say people are doing all kinds of evil things and God weighs their heart. He's saying people are doing what they think is right. It's not evil people, church. It's not sin. It's not blatant, I'm going to do this and just whatever, God. It's people doing what they think is right, but God says, no, no, I like this and you're choosing to do it that way. Can I get amen on that? What's the scripture says that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. If you're alive and you're doing something, God's got something to say about it. And you know why? Because he wants you to be successful at it. That's why he's got a word about it. Can I get amen? Look, God wants you to have a successful marriage. He wants your kids to be blessed. He wants you to have a successful career. He wants you to be healthy in every fashion, every sense of the word. He wants you to be spiritually whole. He wants you to be emotionally stable. He wants you to be financially stable. God wants us to live in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation and people looking at us saying, how are you doing it, bro? I don't get it. I'm killing myself, and you seem like everything just falls into place. Hey, it's all good, man. Can I get amen? I had a person several years ago called me one day, and they're crying on the phone. And I said, oh, no, what's wrong with this person? You know, I was like, oh, gosh, it's going to be an hour-long phone call, you know. And they finally said, please forgive me, right? And they were crying. I said, for what? And they said, I hate you. And I said, oh, that's all? Praise God. Praise God. That's easy. I get over that every day, man. No problem. And I said, so what's going on? It was a funny conversation. But they said, this is what they said. They said, you know what? Everything just works out for you. That's exactly what I did right there. I did that. That's exactly what I did. And I said, you know what, man? This good friend of mine. I said, you know what, bro? Look, I'm glad it looks that way. And that must mean I must be doing something right if it looks that way. But I said to him, you know what you see, man? The difference is between me and you, bro, at this point in this person's life. I said, the difference is that I stopped fighting God about 20 years ago, and you're still fighting him. That's it. I gave up. I was like, man, I made a mess long enough. All right? I'm done doing stuff my own way. And then I woke up the next day and said, I'm done doing stuff my own way. How many people have said that one more than once to God? Okay, Lord, I'm really done this time. I'm serious. Amen. So look, what I want to talk about for a few minutes here in the next probably couple of weeks is I want to talk about what is this process, man, of God like grinding the rough edges off. Do you know that every single one of us has some rough edges? I only have one left. It's still a big one. Amen. But he's working it out. Yeah? Come on, church. Look, we've all got rough edges, man. And see, the thing is like I love communion. We love thinking about what Jesus does on the cross, what Jesus did for us, man. We'll never fathom it, man. Until we get to heaven, we'll never understand it. Can I get amen, right? But look, I thought about this song I heard on the radio a couple of years ago, and the lyrics are like this. It says that the cross has made you flawless. And I love the band. It's a catchy song, but you know what? I listened to that song when I first heard it, and I was singing along with it. And then I was like, I heard the Holy Spirit say, what? my kids go like this. They go, wait, what? And I was like, I just stopped for a second. I stopped singing. I listened to the Holy Spirit, and he said, that's not true. That's not true. The cross, if you get saved, because what the cross does is get you saved. Right? How many of y'all got saved? Raise your hand if you're saved. Are you here? Come on, raise your hand. How many of you are flawless? Not one hand is still up. Amen? Because you know what, church? Look at what happens when we say yes to Jesus on the cross, man, is though it does not matter what you did prior to that moment. It doesn't matter what you did, man. You could be the most vile, wicked human being that has ever lived, man. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Think about what you would consider the most wicked thing that someone could possibly do. Okay, for me, it's like child molester or something like that. Like, that's like, whoa, right? Whatever, so whatever your thing is, can I get amen? You say yes to Jesus, guess what? As far as God's concerned, you never did it. Now, that's hard for us to get our heads wrapped around because we remember it, right? And man, is it a journey just getting over the guilt, all the self-guilt, right? Oh, geez, I did that again. And God's like, wait, you did what again? I don't. Right there, we're like, oh, that I burned some brain cells trying to figure that one out, man, right? Do you see what I'm saying? But church, here's the deal. What we failed to preach in America because it's such a fluffy, feel-good Barney the Dinosaur gospel, man, is that now you are responsible for your behavior after you get saved. Because you know what? Right after you get saved, you know one of the biggest things Jesus said? It's in the Lord's Prayer, right? We don't like to read down to that part, right? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. We know the whole thing, right? You get all the way down to the bottom. You know what it says? And forgive us this day our trespasses as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. Because if I don't forgive the one who's trespassed against me, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. That's Barney the Dinosaur Jesus saying that, bro. All right, that's New Testament stuff, man. That don't feel warm and fuzzy, does it? That makes me want to hide under a rock sometimes. Yeah? Come on, man. Look, Jesus is not a big get-out-of-jail-free card. I can do whatever I want. You know, I'm not going to stand in the courts of heaven someday and Jesus gets up there and slips the Father a $100 bill. Hey, I paid for this one. Don't worry about what he did. Do you understand what I'm saying, y'all? Christianity, man, real Christianity, a real relationship with Jesus means you need to change. Pastor, I don't get mad at me. This was Pastor Al saying. I used to laugh every time, all right? I never said this, y'all. I'm just repeating something somebody else said. Pastor Al would say this. He said, you know, you can be, I've seen people that are 20 years old in the Lord, or I've seen people that are 1 year old 20 times over. Because they never grow. Look, church, sometimes every one of us has stuff that we got to grind out. It takes some time. Can I get amen, right? Anybody ever struggle with anything? Can I get it? Right? Anybody struggling right now? Right? The issue is, am I going to keep going, man? Don't let go of it, right? I'm going to overcome this thing. I'm going to take this thing down. Is that good? So the Lord, church, the Lord desires to build in a church, our church, the church up there, the church over there, any church, any place that believers gather, right? A spiritual structure, not just in us individually, but in us as a congregation, a place where the Lord can dwell. That's what Paul calls it, a dwelling place of God in the Spirit, a place where God can rest. Go look at Isaiah 66, I think, in verse 1 and 2, if you don't believe me. Go look it up right there. A place where God is welcome to come and be who he is. Okay, so we heard Pastor Al during communion, before communion, that prophetic word about don't grieve the Holy Spirit, right? It doesn't say don't grieve Jesus. It doesn't say don't grieve the Father. The Bible also tells us don't quench the Spirit, right? It doesn't say don't quench Jesus or don't quench the Father. He's talking about the third person of the Godhead who is operating on earth today. Amen. The Father is not operating on earth. He's seated on his throne. Jesus is not working on earth. He's seated at the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for us. Can I get amen? That's all he's doing right now. He never stops praying for you 24/7 forever until he comes back. Amen. The person of the Godhead who's working on earth today is the Holy Spirit. And when Paul says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit, you want to know what's right there? There's actually like four or five things. He gives us a list. It's not just a shooting match, like I'm going to try my best, Lord, and hope you help me out. He lists five things right there. Can somebody, give me a Bible, bro. Give me a Bible. Quick. That was too slow. You need to move quicker. Ephesians chapter 4. I told you, I don't know if I'm going to make my notes today or not. Just hang on. It's Ephesians 4. Turn there real quick, everybody. This is where we see don't grieve the Holy Spirit, all the way down at the end of the chapter, chapter 4 in Ephesians. You ready? Yes? You're not ready. I'm ready. Here we go. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let's back up to 25. Just read a little bit. This is all fitting right into where we're going next few weeks, laying some groundwork. Amen. Ephesians 4, 25. Therefore, laying aside, what's it say, church? Yell it out. Falsehood. What's that? That's lying, right? Speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are why? Why do we need to speak the truth? Because we are what? Members of one another. It's a body. Amen? Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your anger. Do not give the devil an opportunity. Why do you need to control your temper? Because if you don't, you give the devil a wide open door to come in and mess up your life. Pretty simple, isn't it? If we got that in our heads, man, every time I lose my temper, I'm just kicking the door open and inviting the devil in, we'd probably stop losing our temper so much. He doesn't say don't get angry. He says control yourself. Can I get amen? Look at what he says here. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good so that he can buy a new car. My bad, that's the wrong translation. So that he will have something to what's that word, bro? Can you say it? I can't say it.
Share.
Share. He'll have something to share with The one who has need, let no, look at the church, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment. Some translations say season right there. Amen. It doesn't mean if you got you might have the right thing to say in the wrong time. Come on. Right? Look, if you're married and your wife or your husband's having a bad day, you might have a good thing to say, but it might not be the right time to say it. All the husbands should have said, "Oh, pastor, you're preaching now, bro." Right? The Bible does not say just to speak the truth. It's to speak the truth in love. It means I need to consider that my brother, how is my truth going to impact him? Is he ready to hear it right now? Do I need to pray more? Do I need to talk to him? Do I need to build relationship? I got truth for this guy, but it doesn't mean I can just truth bomb him whenever I feel like it. Right? So that it will give grace to those who hear it. There's where we've got to check it, man. Is this word I got for this brother or this sister or my spouse or my kids, is it going to give them grace? Amen? Let's keep going. Wait a minute. So they give grace to those who hear, right? Look what he says, the next verse. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Well, we just read a whole list of things that grieve the Holy Spirit. Do you see it, church? Stop lying in verse 25. Stop losing your temper in verse 26. Stop stealing. Okay, you know, if you really want to know what verse 28 says, stop being lazy. That's really what he's saying. Get a job and get enough money where you ain't spending it all on yourself. Share what you got, right? Talking about being generous in verse 28, verse 29. Watch what's coming out of your mouth. Is what's coming out of my mouth wholesome? Is it blessing other people? Is it to a point where I'm giving grace to people who hear what I'm saying? Amen? Let's keep reading. Just two more verses. Then he gives another list. Let how much bitterness? All bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Amen. I think we talked about malice a couple weeks ago. What's malice, everybody? Evil intent. Evil intent. Let it all be put away. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Here you go. Thank you. Wow. So Paul concludes that whole teaching right there by saying what? You need to forgive people that wrong you just like Jesus did to you. Wow. How many of y'all want to just get saved all over again right now? You're like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. Amen. Church, this is serious stuff, man, and we've tiptoed around it in the body of Christ long enough. Can I get amen? Look, does God want to bless you? I'll just give you a little side note. Maybe I'll pick it up and actually teach on it in a couple weeks. But we all know that scripture in Jeremiah 29:11. How many know that one? I know the thoughts I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts of goodness and not evil to give you future and hope, right? Do you know that there's another scripture in Proverbs somewhere? I forget where it is, but there's a scripture in Proverbs that tells us almost exactly the same thing, except there's actually a behavior that we have to do to get it. See, we quote scriptures like Jeremiah 29:11 and see, God has good thoughts about me and he's going to do this, he's going to do that. You know what? He is ready to do those things. There's a difference, church. God, just because God's got good thoughts about you doesn't mean he's going to do good things for you no matter what you do. Amen. I was talking with someone just yesterday, and this is what this person said to me. They said, the Lord's been convicting my heart about something, saying, you know, we ask God to do all these things. God, come down and heal this and do this and provide for that and do this. But we don't do anything. We do whatever we want, and then we yell at God to come down and do something. I was at a prayer meeting over in this room several years ago. I can't remember who I was standing next to, but I was standing next to this person, and we're praying, and all of a sudden this person goes, "Lord, we've done everything you told us to do, and now we're waiting on you." I was like, "Okay, Lord, now you can strike that guy with lightning." Oh. Because I was like, I haven't done everything God told me to do. I know that for sure. Anybody? Come on, man. Right? Look, God, you know, do you understand? There's this balance of like, can I just sit on my couch and eat potato chips and think revival's going to break out? No. Can I come to church and do whatever I want and think revival's going to break out? No, you cannot. Can I live any old way I want to live and think God's going to bless me? No, you cannot. Look, church, the Bible says that the devil is going to deceive the church with lying signs and wonders. Come on, man. Does anybody ever lie to anybody? Just be real. We're in church. Amen. Come on. If you're trying to trick somebody, if you're trying to pull a fast one, do you tell them you're doing it? No. Well, hopefully not. If you can tell them you're doing it and still get away with it, you got skills, bro. Man. But come on, church, the whole point of trying to deceive somebody is you're trying to paint a picture that what you're doing is good. The devil is not stupid, man. I'm just going to say it. If I get in trouble, then just come back next Sunday, all right? I'm telling you what, I'm convinced that the devil can copy things that God can do. He can do exactly the same stuff that God can do. Just go read the story of Moses and Pharaoh's magicians, amen? The first like six plagues, they copied it with magic. Well, I watched the movie and they sprinkled red powder in the water. No, that's the cartoon, bro. That's not what they did for real. Okay, the Bible says the first plague is that the water gets turned into the rivers get turned into blood, right? It says in the Bible that the magicians, the sorcerers, were able to do the same thing. They didn't just throw some Kool-Aid in a bowl, bro. They made water into blood through satanic power. What? How do we keep from getting deceived? We need to get in the Word of God. We need to have relationship. We need to have people that are going to say, "You are off, bro. You are wandering into the woods, man. You're getting yourself in trouble." Amen. Jesus calls people that seek after power and signs and wonders, what's he called them? A wicked and adulterous generation. Can I get amen? We've got to understand. Do I want the power of God? For sure. Have I seen the power of God? For sure, man. We've seen the power of God in this church just this year, for crying out loud. We had a little girl in the backyard, had a tumor in her ankle. We prayed over her and the tumor dissolved. Boom. The doctors opened her up and said, "I don't know where it went, but it's not there." Is that true? Got the paperwork right there to prove it from the doctors. Amen, church. We got another testimony coming from a guy who had a tumor in his leg for 15 years, almost 20 years, had a tumor in his leg, went to get an MRI for something else, and the doctor said, "The tumor's gone. We don't know where it is. There's not even any evidence you even had one in there." Church, I'm telling you, it's not either or, man. We need the power of God. We need the dunamis dynamite power of the Holy Ghost. But we also need to start acting a little bit more like Jesus. Can I get amen? You want to know how to do it? I'm going to share with you just for a few minutes here. Amen. Some of you are new. Just hang on, man. 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 7. We finished here last Sunday, but it's so good, man. I couldn't get out of it this week. Amen. Y'all there? 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 7. So again, we're talking about building the house, building the temple. Everybody good? You ready? Verse 7. Is it up there? Let's read this together, everybody. Ready? "The house, while it was being built, was built of stone prepared at the quarry, and there was neither hammer nor axe nor any iron tool heard in the house while I was being built. Just leave that up there for the rest of the morning, please. Amen. So again, just a real quick review because it's so important, church. Several years ago, I read this, and the Holy Spirit just spoke to me, and he said, son, the quarry is your prayer closet. The quarry is your prayer closet. Amen. It's the place where you get worked on. And the reason that so much of the church in America has got no power anymore is because we only get worked on once a week for 45 minutes. Amen. We got pastors bringing axes and tools and iron tools and hammers and stuff to church, but the Bible here tells us that they're not supposed to do that. That's the stuff that I'm supposed to, this is supposed to be me and Jesus, man. You guys remember that video that we showed? I almost showed it again. The skit guys, remember the skit guys? And he was, when the bald guy was God and he was chiseling the guy, chiseling stuff off. You guys remember that? We'll show it again next Sunday because it's so good. I cry every time I watch that one, man. Because he like God's chipping away at him. And he says, okay, but don't go there. Don't go there. And he's like, well, what's going on? He says, you're not going to like what you find in there. And church, I'm guaranteeing you right now that that's the biggest reason that we shy away from the secret place with God, because we see things in the mirror that we don't like and we're embarrassed about it. And we think it makes us look weak. And we think that it makes us, all kinds of bad things. But you know, the bottom line, that's exactly what they are doing. And that's why it's so important to get into the secret place with God, because it's in the secret place with God that those weak things in our lives get shored up. It's in that secret place with God that those things get healed. And God deals with those wounds in our soul, and he strains us out, and he pulls out the bitterness, and he pulls out the jealousy, and he pulls the envy out of us. He pulls that stuff out of us in the secret place. It doesn't happen at church. If you're waiting to get that stuff fixed at church on a Sunday, you're going to be waiting a long time. Amen. Pastor Jim, I remember him one time. He's one of our pastors, if you're, again, visiting with us. He was preaching here years ago, and he says, you know, we used to get so proud back in the 70s and 80s. We were so proud. We'd have an altar call, and there'd be people lined up. We'd be laying hands on people's foreheads for hours. And he says, one time, after a long time of doing that, he says, something hit me. It's the same folks every single Sunday. He's like, we're supposed to be getting better. Right? But he goes, boy, it felt good. You know, all these people want me to lay hands on them. But man, we're supposed to change. Right? The Hebrew word for prepared literally means finished. If you look at that Hebrew word directly, the direct translation is finished. Everybody say finished. It's also translated in the Old Testament elsewhere as complete, safe, at peace, blameless, or whole. Now, if you just word search in the New Testament, get a Bible program and word search blameless in the New Testament, that's a pretty good word to look up, because the Bible tells us, Paul talks about it, Jesus talks about that we'll be blameless in his sight. There's even men in the Old Testament that are described as blameless before God. Amen? Right? Blameless is a pretty good word, but if we think about it, does it mean that these men are without sin? That's not what it means, because that's impossible. No one is without sin. So blameless obviously doesn't mean that I'm without sin. Can I get amen? Finished here doesn't mean like if I'm going to build a house, boom, it's finished. I'm done. I don't touch it anymore. Or I'm going to, you know, whatever. We're going to eat lunch in a few minutes. My plate's empty. I'm finished. That's not what it's talking about. Really, the word that I want to kind of meld into this concept, church, is the word maturity. Right? This is the word, when we see elsewhere in the Bible, this word that's called perfect, that you'll be perfect even as your Father is perfect. Right? Well, we're not perfect like he's perfect, because he's flawless. That's what we think about. Perfect, right? A perfect diamond is no flaws. A perfect game in baseball. I don't like baseball, but that means the pitcher never walks anybody or never, then there's no hits, right? Everybody three up, three down for the whole game, right? It's called a perfect game. He never messes up, right? That's not when the Bible tells us to be perfect. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about maturity. Perfection in God's sight, when we're perfect, it means that I have integrity. It's talking about character. It's talking about another word I found recently is emotional intelligence. Anybody ever heard that word? Emotional intelligence. Emotional intelligence, y'all, is this skill in perceiving, understanding, and managing emotions and feelings. Emotional intelligence. I'm going to read the definition one more time. You guys ready? Emotional intelligence, skill in perceiving, understanding, and managing emotions and feelings. Right? The person who is really mature in Christ is not only the person that's walking in the dunamis power of God, right? Prophetic words that are accurate. Lay hands on sick people and they get well, right? It's also the person who is in control of their soul. I'm emotionally stable. I get angry, but I don't sin. I think about what I'm going to say before I say it. Let your words, therefore, be seasoned with salt, Jesus says. I find if I got something I got to say to someone, it's like burning in me. I feel like I got to say it. I've learned that that's the last time I should say it. Man, can I get amen? I'm going to give them peace of my mind. Well, you better slow up, bro. Just slow your roll a little bit because you might need that peace later. They might not give it back when they're done with it. Amen? We got to be careful what we're saying, church. Yeah? Character. So do you understand? Maturity, character, emotional intelligence, whatever words you want to use there. But look, character, 999 times out of 1,000, integrity or character or emotional intelligence will steer us away from a poor decision. Can I get it? Right? It's being in tune with the Holy Ghost, right? That's how I get there. It's allowing the Spirit of God to get in there and work this stuff out. I'm saved because of what Jesus did on the cross, but now I'm getting saved through what the Holy Spirit is doing in my heart. Right? The Bible word is called sanctification. Be ye holy even as he is holy, right? Holy means set apart, different than, other than, right? I should not be thinking like the world thinks. I should not value what the world values. I should not do things the way the people in that don't know Jesus do things. It doesn't mean I can't live in the world. Jesus says you're in it, you're just not from it. Right? Man, he says, enjoy it. There's some good stuff out there, man. Have fun. Go for it. But don't let it get in you. Right? If you get in a boat in the water, man, if the boat's in the water, you're doing okay. If the water's in the boat, you're in trouble. Some of you will catch that in a second. As long as the boat's in the water, you're good to go. The water gets in the boat, you're in trouble, man. Get the life jackets out. Right? That's the same thing with as we're living in the world. It's like if you're in the world, you're fine. If the world starts getting back in you, you're in trouble. Right? Had a young man the other day. I was talking to Kaz. He says, the friend of his nephew or something. And this kid apparently was on fire for the Lord at one point in his life. And they got talking at a family dinner or something about homosexuality. And this kid's statement was this. Well, Jesus doesn't directly address homosexuality, so it must be okay. Well, you know, Jesus doesn't say I shouldn't drink Drano either, but that's probably not a good idea. I mean, come on, man. He doesn't say I shouldn't drag race my car from stoplight to stoplight. My goodness gracious. You know what, church? This is what's going on in the church in America. You guys got to see this stuff, man. There is a twisted stuff going on. Can I get an amen? You know how we know that? How we know that we shouldn't just read what Jesus taught? Because Jesus himself said before he ascended to heaven, there's many things I want to tell you right now, but you're not ready to handle them. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will reveal to you everything that I have spoken. It's going to click. Oh, that's what he was talking about. And he's going to tell you all the things that I can't tell you right now. Well, Pastor, okay, but I listen to the Holy Spirit. Church, but in the Bible, you know what that is in the Bible? Starts with the book of Acts and goes all the way to the end. That's all the stuff that Jesus couldn't tell us because we wouldn't have caught it. Right? So what is am I making sense? Is this okay? Almost done. Church, how I interact with people shines a huge spotlight on my true character. When I'm pressed, when things aren't going my way, when I've been hurt, when I've been betrayed or lied to, anybody fit that mold? Eh? Does Christ come out or do I come out? I can't tell y'all how many times I've prayed about some kind of relational conflict with somebody, knowing that I'm right. You know what the Lord tells me? Suck it up, buttercup. The Lord tells me, well, you know what? You know, he never tells me you're wrong, but he says, you know what? How about you just suck it up? How about you stop being such a baby? How about you stop? I'm just telling you how the Lord talks to me, y'all. I'm not telling you he talks to you like that. I'm just saying, all right? He takes me to the woodshed once in a while, all right? Can I get amen? Right? I tell you, I've never had the Lord go, could you please, when you get around to it? He's kind, boy, but he means business, man. He's talking. He don't talk just to hear himself talk. He gets on me. He says, you better get this taken care of. I'm with you. I'm in you to get it done, but let's go. Right? I remember one time years ago, I was disciplining one of my kids, man, and I was angry at the dog. At the dog. They're from the devil. I'm convinced that dogs are, they're not man's best friend. That's a lying sign and wonder, y'all. I'm telling you. All right, dogs are evil for sure. All right. But anyway, one of my kids, they pulled, like, we was already late somewhere, man, and it was crazy. And they pulled, you know, when little kids, they pulled one of those, like, I'm gonna sit on the floor. I'm not putting my shoes on. That was it. I'd had it. And I swatted that little girl on her rear end. And literally, church, I'm telling you the truth. The moment that I gave her a little whack on the rear end, the Holy Spirit said to me this, just like this. What are you doing? Now, I'm not, you want to spank your kids? Go for it, man. All right? Please do. But the issue was that I had lost my temper. I was no longer in control of my emotions. It was not an act of discipline. It was an act of frustration. Amen. And church, I tell you what, I have not been convicted like that in a long time. I was instantly frozen. I froze. And I went, I don't know what I'm doing. And I turned around and picked that little girl up and I squeezed her and I just started weeping. I was weeping, just broken. I said, oh, forgive me. I should never have done that. Amen. That's integrity. That's character. I was wrong. Not you should have done that. No. I have the fruit of the Spirit, self-control. We've not been given the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind, self-control. Can I get amen? You can't make me mad. You do whatever you want. I'm the one that gets mad or I don't. Don't matter what you do. Right? Please don't try it, though, bro, because... Can I get any mentors? Look, if you're saved, if you've got the Holy Ghost in you, you can control your emotions. Is that right? Almost done here. And we're going to preach a little bit more, do some more teaching in a couple weeks for this. But look, just a couple more thoughts, and we're getting ready for pasta lunch. Yes. So, guys, listen, this is the stuff the little bit I'm talking about here, this is the stuff that gets worked out at the quarry, man. These are the things that get worked out in our prayer closet. These are the things that get worked out in our one-on-one times with the Holy Spirit. Real Christianity isn't about just doing the right things. I should have got one amen on that one. There was like a little bit of a pause. I don't know. You guys are waiting for me to say something else or whatever, right? Look it. Go to AA, okay, Alcoholics Anonymous. You know what? They're going to try to teach you to do the right thing, right? And what they teach in that program, Narcotics Anonymous, the same thing. What they do is they try to get you to behave a certain way, and hopefully the insides catch up. That's the opposite. That's religion. God says, I'm going to fix your brokenness on the inside, and once you get the inside right, once you get the river flowing right, once you get something pure inside of you, it's going to start growing and working its way out. Amen. I don't need to behave right. I need to get right with God. Because when I'm right with God, the behavior is going to catch up. Can I get it? Man, we got to get this, bro. It's not, oh, brother, you should stop sinning. You probably should, but it's not just about stop sinning. You probably should give more. Well, you probably should, but it's not just about that. It's about getting a heart that wants to give, a heart that wants to forgive, a heart that wants to love, a heart that wants to share. I want to do this. Because God has changed me, man. I don't wanna do this stuff I used to do. Can I get amen? My wife and I have been together 21 years. We're married 19 this year. 12 kids. That's not that many. We're working on it. Missy said this morning, she said, well, if we have five, we gotta have one more to even it out at six. That someone else is saying, well, let's go for seven because that's the perfect number in the Bible. I said, bring it on. Let's do it. That'd be a miracle. Amen. But look at church. Are there times when I just want to do what I want to do and I don't really care what my wife thinks? Just one time. I only did it once. Yeah, for sure. I was like, never doing that again, ever. Amen. But look, we've all been there. We've all been in times with our spouses, with our kids, coworkers, neighbors, bosses, pastors, leaders at the church, where we're just like, look, I just want to do me. I'm done. I don't want to do whatever. I know it's wrong. I know it's, but this is just where I'm at. I'm just going to do me. You know what? I think that those are okay from time to time, as long as it's short-lived and we work it out, whatever was going on, whatever's wrong up here, we get it worked out. Amen? Look, sometimes we need to just take a little bit of a step back and go, look, I'm about to train wreck here. Okay, so let's step back. All right, I know there's something wrong. Let me just, but too much of that church ain't no good. Because you know what? You doing you is what got you where you're at, where you needed to get saved from you. Man, look at me doing me is what gets me in trouble, man. All right, me calling the shots is not pretty. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Right? Come on, church. We got to get it, man. Me doing me is bad stuff. That's bad news. Amen. Look at doing me too much is what is easy to do, but it will have a negative impact on any relationship I have, including my relationship with God. Is that good? I can't tell y'all, just done right here. Let's stand up. I can't tell you guys how many arguments I've had with God about things he's told me to do or not do. Anybody else? Come on, man. Look at, we justify stuff. We're like, yeah, well, what if I just do it this way over here? You know? He's like, stop doing that. He says, you mean like every day I can't do it? How about just on days that end with Y? Can we try it that way? You know? How about just on like odd days, you know? I mean, like, what? You know, how about just in the morning? I'll stop doing it by 9, you know, or what? Come on, church, we do it, man. We do it. And we haggle with God and we bargain. Okay, Lord. Or how about these prayers? Lord, if you do this, if you answer this prayer, then I'll start doing this. Yeah, that doesn't work. That, no. Okay, and you know what? If that ever does work, you better be darn sure you hold up your end of the bargain. because you're really up the creek, man. If you make that deal and he comes through and you bail on it, right? See, the thing about it, church, is what we're really looking for, what God is looking for, is faith. And what faith really is, in a very simple sense, church, is God says this, I believe it, and I act on what he says, regardless of what's going on. If he comes through, if he doesn't seem to come through, if I do what he told me to do and he delays, if I do what he told me to do and nothing happens, if I do what he told me to do and things get worse, guess what? He's God and I'm not. And what we've got to understand is that you are not designed for earth. You're designed for heaven, and you're just visiting down here, and that's one of the other things we got to get over in America. Oh, what happens if I don't have enough money to retire on? You know what? You're just retiring on earth for a couple years, man. Your ultimate retirement is up there, and there's plenty of money up there. All right, don't worry about it. Can I get amen? Man, it's good preaching today. I'm having fun. Father, we thank you for this time this morning. Lord, I know we were kind of bouncing around a little bit. I hope something stuck. And Lord, even if I'm going to listen to it again, I know for sure. I just encourage everybody here to just, you know, you're driving somewhere this week, pop the app open and listen to it again. Just grind on a little bit. Amen. There's sermons I've listened to 100 times. Not mine. There's like 3 and I'm bored. But some other sermon I listened to. There's one sermon Pastor Al gave me years ago. I listened to this sermon for 4 months straight in my truck every day. Changed my life. Amen. Father, we ask that we want to change, God. We are done giving in to fear, to anxiety, to doubt, to discouragement, to anger, bitterness, depression, all this stuff, Lord, because Jesus, you died on the cross to set us free from that stuff. You rose again to give us resurrection power that we could live a new life, being brand new creations created for good works in Christ Jesus. So Lord, we receive right now that power from heaven, fresh right now, Lord. Change us, God. Help us to be sick of ourselves. Help us to be sick of ourselves, Lord. Let us fall in love with you all over again. In Jesus' name. Amen.